I said, well, hell, I got it going on then.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the Reload Podcast. My name is Kyle Boone. Snotty-nosed Boone today. I am dealing with a cold. And Dustin Ragusa, you are back in the living room again this week with the dog.
Yep, dog, Let's living go. Room. I'm watching the Frisco Bowl, San Diego State versus Ohio.
You got to action on it?
I'm locked in. No, I don't. So I'll be locked into the podcast. I just have it on in the background.
Okay, cool. Who's winning?
Right now, Ohio's up 10-0, but I'm feeling a San Diego State comeback.
Okay, well, keep us updated through the podcast because that's really interesting. I'll be interested to see the outcome of that. So we are talking on Wednesday night. It is 8:30 our time, and Oklahoma State has basically wrapped up its class, its 2019 recruiting class. All 19 commitments signed with Oklahoma State submitted their national letters of intent Wednesday morning, and then they added another commitment Wednesday afternoon with Langston Anderson to become the second four-star in this 2019 class. So first impression, Ragu, what do you make of this 2019 class just as a whole?
I mean, it's great that we got all 19 guys signed. You know, you'd hate to see – we saw some big flips today. One we'll talk about later.
Oh, yeah.
There was the quarterback that flipped from Ohio State to – was it Georgia?
No, he flipped – oh, yes, that's right. He flipped from Ohio State to Georgia. Yep.
Yeah, so we didn't have anything like that. You know – the pickup of Langston Anderson made this class, I think, round out a whole lot better, finishing with 2 4-stars, because really only 1 4-star is pretty depressing with a class. And, you know, I'm sure we'll get into it with the class rank and everything. But overall, it's a little bit underwhelming. But there's definitely some highlights and some key guys that I think could turn into major contributors for Oklahoma State down the road. But, you know, I guess overall maybe it's a little underwhelming.
Yeah, yeah. So you mentioned overall ranking. While we're on the subject, so last year Oklahoma State finished 34th in the national rankings, which was good, not great. It's good. Afterwards, I guess you could say afterwards. Not technically afterwards, but the summer, Mike Holder kind of, you know, put it on Mike Gundy, saying, "Hey, I think Gundy does a good job, but at the same time." I'm encouraging them to recruit better. We want to see better recruits. And he says, you know, basically that you're limiting your ceiling when you're recruiting the level of athlete that are coming to Oklahoma State, and you're recruiting at basically a Big 12 average. This class is, I don't want to say significantly worse, but it's ranked 44th in the country. That's good for 6th in the Big 12 behind OU, obviously, Texas, TCU, Baylor, and Iowa State, and just barely ahead of West Virginia and Texas Tech. Kansas State and Kansas are like MAC level bad. so I feel bad for them, I guess. But, you know, it's not a particularly impressive class. Obviously, Anderson's commitment gives OSU a little bit of punch at the top. You know, Grayson Boomer was only 4-star. Anderson is the second 4-star. By the way, he earned his 4-star ranking like 4 days ago. so just keep that in mind. But I mean, I don't know what to make of it. I guess it's okay. But you know, my counterpoint of our argument to this is, I would argue, and I think most people would agree, OSU is a top 15 to 20 program nationally over the past 10 years, but they consistently recruit just in the 30s, in the 40s, and this class could end up finishing closer to 50 or even below 50. So, I mean, I guess, how is OSU being out-recruited by Baylor and Iowa State? That's my question.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was going to get to next when you came back to me. the Oklahoma State should be fighting for that 3 or 4 spot mm-hmm. every year, I think. They're probably going to finish behind OU and Texas. OU obviously killing it, especially this year.
Yep.
Texas is always going to be up near the top, 1, 2, 3. And then TCU, West Virginia, Baylor, Oklahoma State should all kind of be in the mix. But I think Oklahoma State should really be in that 3 spot with, you know, the success the program's had, the people they put into the NFL, and, you know, the just kind of national image and brand that Mike Gundy is, and they're consistently not up there. And, you know, with some of the comments that Gundy makes, it sometimes seems like they're not trying, even though today he said they try for the high star guys and they just never come here, which is a weird quote. But
okay, he was talking about quarterbacks.
Yeah, quarterbacks. Yeah, right. But it's still kind of a weird thing to say. But I think
we can all agree he's talking. That also applies generally speaking to recruiting.
Yeah, and I don't really have an answer to your question. Yeah. It's just it kind of blows my mind how they aren't consistently 3 or 4 in the and you know they have good teams like you mentioned with lower class rankings. So, you know, that Gundy always uses that as kind of to back up his point when he's talking about recruiting, but it still just kind of blows my mind.
Yeah. Agreed. And people always ask me, it's like, how is Baylor doing this? How is TCU ahead of OSU? OSU's been so much better on the field. I don't know the answer to that, but I think one solution is really, to me, it's pretty obvious, is you look at Norman and at OU and what their formula is. Lincoln Riley is intimately involved in everything Oklahoma does, from calling recruits to making home visits to hosting them on campus. He is the lead guy. Reminds me a lot of what Mike Boynton does recruiting at Oklahoma State for the basketball program. He has his fingerprints on everything. I don't think that's the case with Gundy. I really don't. And you see Gundy a lot as signing classes are usually winding down. He usually goes out and kind of makes the runs. He shakes hands and goes and does his home visits, and you know he brings out the swag copter, and everyone's like, "Oh yeah," everyone says Gundy doesn't care about recruiting, but where is he the other 11 months? That's what I want to know. And I just don't think he cares about recruiting. And I think he's satisfied with just being 5th and 6th and 7th and wherever they're going to finish in the Big 12, because he's I think he's pretty content with what he's got. I think he's content with what the recruits that they're bringing in have produced. And I think maybe he's a little bit confident that, you know, the guys that they're bringing in are a little bit better than what they are and what recruiting rankings would show. So all that to say, I think Gundy has to take kind of a personal stand and say, hey, listen, I don't like the, maybe not the kids that you're bringing in, but I don't like the overall quality and I'd like to upgrade a little bit. I don't think they'll get to that point. Do you?
He's this far along into his career. I just don't see him changing that.
Yeah.
You know, I could see him leaving before changing that. I just don't really. That's his philosophy. He's got the players that have come through to back it up. The lower star guys that turn into superstars. And even though you see a guy like Tylan Wallace, who is a 4-star, excel, and you're like, you know, Mike, if you got some more guys like that, you know, you see what could happen. But he's not going to listen to that because he has the players that support his argument the other way.
Yeah. So I saw a video on Wednesday of Lincoln Riley literally fist pumping and yelling with other coaches because they landed, I think, a 5-star recruit, which for OU, that's kind of status quo. But I just, you know, he has so much fire. Maybe it's because he's a second-year coach and he loves recruiting like he loves you know, contacting recruits and doing visits and that stuff. Like I said, a lot like Mike Boynton. Do you see Gundy doing that? No. Like, I feel like he's a lot more passionate about, you know, a lot of different things in the program, and he's a really good coach. He's a good tactician. He's a good CEO and kind of program manager. I don't know, man. It's like Kyle Porter brought this up to me earlier this week. It's like, why don't you just pay $1 million to, you know, Marcus Arroyo and say, hey, go get me a bunch of Texas kids who are ranked inside the top 150, and let's see if we can build a championship program. I don't think it's going to change.
Yeah, well, one thing with guys like Riley and Boynton, they are quite a bit younger than Gundy, and that could be one reason. I'm not saying that is the reason, but that could be one reason they have that fire, because you do hear, you know, when guys go to the NFL or older coaches when they retire, you hear a lot of them, you know, I just really didn't like recruiting. I couldn't handle recruiting anymore. When they get older, you know, it's leaving when it could be your off time with your family. Yeah. It's leaving when it could be your time to go home during the week or prepare more for the games that you're actually coaching in college. So, you know, I'm sure it's some of that, along with his just philosophy always kind of being that he can develop lower starred or lower rated players, not to trust the recruiting rankings. All that combined, I don't see it getting any better as he gets older.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I don't necessarily disagree with that. It's like he's over 50. He has kids. He's got a senior or a rising senior in high school. I guess Gunner is
future Oklahoma State quarterback.
Yes. Yeah. Gunner Gundy, the future of Oklahoma State. So he's got a lot of stuff on his plate. Like, you know, I imagine after a while it gets old to say, you know, who's that kid from Bahuska that's rushing the quarterback? You know, let me check out some tape and see, you know, what we got coming into the program and see if we can get some upgraded recruits. It's like, at some point, that has to just be wearing and tiring, but at the same time, it's part of the job. I think you have to take a stand and put that on your shoulders as a head coach. And I think it's pretty clear it's not the top priority. So, anyways, that's just kind of a separate rant. We'll move on to superlatives. Do you have anything else to add to that?
No, I thought we covered it. I mean, it's a conversation you and I have had, many people have had about Gundy. It's good to cover it again when signing day comes up, but it's kind of like beating a dead horse now, because like I said, I just don't really think it's going to change.
Yeah, I was on three separate radio channels. Well, today, I'll be on one tomorrow, and then I was on yesterday. All three asked, and I guarantee tomorrow asked too, Why is Baylor ahead of OSU? Why are they ranked 50 in the country? Whatever. It's like, okay, I'll just cut and paste this audio and I'll move it to my radio segment. But moving on, it's the same conversation every time. Moving on, we're talking about superlatives for the 2019 class. So there's 20 commitments now with Langston Anderson in the fold. So we'll do like a quick little rundown of the class with some like most intriguing, best NFL guy, et cetera, et cetera. We'll start with you because I did this for Pistols Firing Blog. You can check it out at pistolsfiringblog.com. You can read the article there, but you are going to present yours on the podcast. So, Ragu, the floor is yours. Most intriguing prospect in the 2019 class. Drum roll.
Okay, this guy's on your list, so we can talk about him more when we get to yours too. But I went here with the highest rated guy in the class. 4-star tight end, will be Cowboy back, Grayson Boomer.
I dig it.
And the reason why I put him at most intriguing is because really more of the fact of how Yursich and Gundy have schemed the offense in recent years since Blake Jarwin left. There just hasn't been, especially before Jelani, you know, caught his 7-8 passes or whatever last year, when it was just Abbott and Sione, that there just wasn't much emphasis on the Cowboy back in the passing game.
Yep.
And Grayson Boomer, he's a great blocker. His high school team in Collinsville ran the ball a lot, so he's had a lot of experience blocking. But this dude is a freak athlete. He can catch the ball. He can make plays after the catch. if a linebacker or small safety is on him, he's going to have the advantage every single time, even at the college level. This dude is an absolute stud, and they're going to have to figure out a way to get him the ball, because even with the talented receivers, even with Chuba Hubbard, this guy, I'm not saying next year, he might need a little time to develop. I actually think he's already a pretty good size compared to the other Cowboy backs on the roster outside of Jelani, because he's like 8 feet tall. But I just think this guy's got high upside. He already probably could play. He might not see the field next year, but at some point this guy's going to get on the field because he's that good, and we've got to figure out a way to get him the ball and scheme him into the offense.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. I love that. I love that you're in on Grayson Boomer.
That's
my little homie from Collinsville. Love that guy. Love him. The highest rated commitment in the class, by the way. I think you mentioned that, but really like him. I think he reminds me a lot of Kyle Rudolph, and that's kind of what I wrote in my superlatives. Most intriguing for me in this class is Israel Isuman Hunley, a defensive end. He's 6'5", 230 pounds, came from Nigeria. When he originally came to the United States from Nigeria, played basketball, was not that good at basketball, started playing football. They put him at receiver, and he was not that good at receiver. But turns out he's a really good defensive end. Baylor offered him and was considered at one point to potentially be the favorite. Oklahoma State ends up swooping in and stealing him. Kind of a three-star guy, just not super highly touted, but I really like him. And so I think he is the most intriguing to me, because I think he's kind of an X factor. He's a guy that not a lot of people know about, and at some point I think he has probably a chance to start as a defensive end. So I like the get. I think it'll be awesome, and I'm intrigued by him. Moving on to number two in our superlatives, the most upside, I am going with the quarterback, which is kind of a cop-out. I'm going with Brendan Costello, my boy from San Clemente, California. 6 foot, 183 pounds. God, he needs to put on some weight. dual threat kid, almost rushed for 1,000 yards as a senior. Moves around really well, and I would like to get your take on this, but I said he kind of reminds me a lot of Johnny Manziel / Baker Mayfield. And I think I'd take Costello over most any Arkansas policeman in a foot race. so what's your take on Costello? Because I know you like him.
Yeah, he's I'll get to him. He's on mine later. I'll let you know. I won't spoil which one he is. But the dude's an absolute stud. I like the Johnny Manziel and Baker Mayfield. I'd actually probably lean more Baker Mayfield, because I think he wants to stay in the pocket and throw the ball.
Yeah.
He does have the athleticism, though, to move it around. There were a couple of his videos weren't just like highlights. They were actually like segments of games, it seemed like, on Huddle. So I watched some of those because it kind of just showed some of his, you know, normal throws, him, yeah, you know, taking off and running for just a few yards. And I really liked his decision making. He's obviously, like you mentioned, he's smaller.
Yep.
But
103 pounds.
Oklahoma State isn't an NFL team. I think this guy can play at that size at the college level.
Yeah.
And he definitely has the athleticism too. So I'm really excited about him. I don't think he'll come in and compete with Spencer or Drew, but man, I could definitely see this guy starting a quarterback for Oklahoma State. There was teams. So Georgia offered him late. I know UCLA was really interested. I'm pretty sure he had a visit set up to Cal that he ended up not taking. So teams got on him really late because the dude had an incredible senior season.
Yeah, he did. He did. He really popped in his final year at San Clemente. So I like it. I think he's a good get. Who is your most upside prospect in this class?
So I went with who I think is probably the most raw prospect in the class, but has the physical tools and the frame to possibly be a major contributor down the road, Xavier Ross.
Oh, I was going to guess Isuman Hunley. Okay, I like that.
Oh, yeah, and him as well. I mean, you talked about him and you touched on his rawness.
Oh, for sure.
But Xavier, so he's listed at 6'3", 285 on 24/7. And then I saw a post by, I think, Zach Lancaster that had him listed at 6'4", 295. And then Rivals has him listed at 6'5".
Jeez.
So he's somewhere in the 6'4", 6'5 range, somewhere in the 290, 300-pound range. The dude is a physical freak. He's boys with Jaden Jernigan, another defensive tackle signee for Oklahoma State.
Let's go.
So you got the little camaraderie there.
Yeah.
He's just so big. He just can clog up running lanes by not even moving. And he has the strength to basically steer the offensive lineman wherever he wants to go and then shed them to make the tackle. He doesn't really have any finesse swim moves. He's not super quick off the line of scrimmage, but he just bull rushes guys. And that could be a problem at the college level when he goes up against some bigger offensive linemen, notably the guys, the big dudes that line up for OU. But I think he can learn some moves. I think he can learn some finesse. I think he can improve the quickness. And with the size he has, getting with Rob Glass and just building that all into muscle, this dude could be an absolute freak on the defensive line.
I'm sold. I was kind of questionable on him. I didn't really have a take on him. So that's interesting. I like that.
Yeah, Xavier, I like him
Ross,
a lot.
My new homie from – where's he from? Cedar Hill?
Cedar Hill, Texas, yeah. And
that's
I saw something.
Too.
I could never find it officially, but – he retweeted an account saying that he won 6A Defensive Player of the Year.
Hot dog.
Yeah,
he was
so
playing with a really good defensive tackle, too.
And he plays at a big – I mean, that's a big school, too.
Yeah, he and the other defensive tackle he played with was recruited by Oklahoma State as well. In fact, his name is – I'm going to look this up, but I believe it's Enoch Jackson.
Okay.
Who – I'm not sure where he ended up. I'm about to find out after this quick Google. No, he played at Mansfield Legacy. I don't know, but
I know who you're talking about. I can't think of his name.
Yeah,
though.
I think he was a Division I prospect. I think he maybe went to like Arkansas or somewhere really, really nice. So yeah, I like that. I think he's got a lot of potential, a lot of upside. Probably not gonna play right away is my guess. Most of those interior guys just need an extra year to learn the system, but most importantly, put on some weight and get used to the system. So I am intrigued by him now. So moving along to our next one, I'm afraid we might have the same player for this one, but we'll see. Most likely to play immediately, I have Desmond Jackson, the junior college running back. I really like him. He's at Hutchinson Community College. You did a really awesome breakdown on him, kind of just explaining what he can bring to the table, just because he's kind of an X factor. Like, he had offers from Chattanooga, Grambling, Kansas State, and a bunch of other like small programs. Oklahoma State swooped in late with an offer. They got a visit. He ended up committing on the visit. 6 foot, 220 pounds. I kind of like him as I feel like he's kind of going to be pitched as maybe like a Thunder to Chuba's Lightning, and that's kind of what I wrote about. But I think he's kind of a little bit of Lightning too. Like, I think he's pretty quick, and I don't want to say he's Chris Carson 2.0, but has a lot of shades of Chris Carson. So I think he can play probably right away is my guess, because J.D. King is gone, Justice Hill is gone. They need someone to step up in that running back room. Obviously, we know what Chuba is going to bring to the table. A lot of speed and a lot of, you know, I think he can even probably play a larger role in the passing game. But Desmond Jackson is going to be kind of that X factor who could take over that second spot depending on kind of how LD Brown does. But what do you think of Jackson, and then what's your most likely to play immediately?
I honestly think Jackson could be one of those guys that Gundy uses in his argument in the future. Lower star guy. I think he could turn out to be a really, really good running back at Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
I know some people get skeptical with the JUCO running backs. They don't always work out the first year, but he's enrolling early. And
that's,
I think,
huge.
That gives him a leg up. He'll be able to learn everything. Like you mentioned, he's he looks like the Thunder. He's what, like 6 foot 220, so he's already the heaviest back on the roster. And but he does have speed, and that's what I tried to key on in my breakdown. He's got home run playability, but if you get in his way, he will run you over. So I love Jackson. I think I was going to put him, but we already had one the same, so I didn't want to have two the same, so I went in a different direction. But I agree with you. I think it's Jackson. And because J.D. King leaving, I think they need another rotational back in there, and I'm not sure if that's Jeter yet, so I think it could be Jackson.
I like it. I like it.
Mine, this one's kind of – I almost feel like this is kind of a default one. You mentioned this on the Pistols firing podcast with Kyle and Carson, but Sione Asai.
Yeah. One of two. So I think he's only – so Jackson and Sione to this point are the only junior college commitments.
Right. And yeah. I just think he's going to play early because you're losing Enoch, you're losing Trey Carter, you're losing Darian Daniels. The defensive line, really only Brendan Evers and Cam Murray even really got any playing time.
Yeah.
So you don't have a lot of guys with experience. You don't have a ton of depth on the roster. You've got two freshmen, Xavier Ross, one I talked about, and Jaden Jernigan coming in. Like you mentioned, it's hard for defensive tackles to just come in and play so out of high school, so they're probably not going to play. So you kind of got to look to this guy who's had 2 years of junior college experience. He's already 300-plus pounds. I saw recently that he's listed closer to 320, 6'1", big bowling ball in the middle, but he's got quickness, and he, unlike Xavier Ross, does have some nice swim moves, does have some nice finesse moves to get by offensive linemen. And I just think he seems like the type of guy who could come in and play right away due to his size and just skill at that position.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I went a little less serious. In fact, just totally goofy on my next one. Most likely to go viral. I went with Xavier Player. Have you seen this kid's hair? It's amazing.
Yeah, I love it.
He's got a full head of lettuce. It is truly something to behold. It would take me years to grow this thing. It's got curls. It's like, you know, it's coming out to his shoulders. Like, this thing is something to behold. And adding to the hair, he posted a edit to his Twitter account, and it looks like it's definitely not an OSU official edit. So people were in the comments praising me, like, "Oh, you're praising the edit." Like, I don't remember who it was. Some fancy artist lives in Boone Pickens Stadium. Like, no, I'm not. This guy is like not an OSU editor by any means. But anyways, the editor, whoever made this edit, has him sitting on a horse. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've seen it. What? Does he ride horses at all, or was that just like for Bullet, or because that's like a brown horse?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what to make of it. I don't know if it's like Bullet or if it's like, you know, Let's Ride, or.
I mean, I get it because it's cowboys, but you would think it would be like a horse that looked more like Bullet. I think he might just be into horses, which I was going to bring up after reading your superlatives. He plays defensive back. Daytuan Lowe played defensive back. And wasn't he like really into like equestrian and riding horses and stuff?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure he was. I'll have to look it up to make sure. But I'm pretty sure Daytuan Lowe loved horses. So maybe he's just trying to be like Daytuan, one of my favorite players of all time.
It's possible. Is Daytuan from Cibolo?
I'm not sure where Daytuan's from. Okay. I'm not sure where Daytuan is right now.
Yeah, I don't know either, actually. That'd be a good follow-up piece. I like that.
I'm almost positive he's into horses, though, so maybe he's just trying to do...
I don't know if I'm more impressed that you know that he's into horses or that I'm actually creeped out that you know that, but I think I'm just amazed, honestly. That's
big
hilarious.
Big Daytuan fan. Dropping no, I some like nuggets. That one. No, I couldn't stop laughing at that picture because I hadn't seen that until I read your superlative, so I was cracking up.
Yeah, I'm still like, I can't get over it. It's really funny. But I feel like if his lettuce of a hair does not go viral, that cheesy photo edit certainly will at some point. Like, that's definitely going to be on a broadcast next year if he's starting, like, oh, yeah, it's the kid riding the horse. And that, and
Oh, yeah, I could definitely see that on Fox Sports, them showing that.
Yeah, picture. I was going to say Fox Sports, definitely not ESPN or CBS. the worldwide leader.
Okay. So mine, I went with one. He's a little weird and an odd position for a recruit. I think that kind of gives it away, but I went with Tom Hutton, the punter. And the reason why I think he will go viral is because if he gets in the game to punt, there's no way a broadcaster is not going to bring up the fact that he's almost 30 years old. He's never played American football until next year. And I guarantee you I know he can punt regular because I was reading something about it. Like, he does have a high arching, like, deep net punt that he sends out there. But he also rugby punts because he played Australian football. So I know he knows how to do that. I'm sure he'll do that in the game. It's always weird when teams do that. It always looks like they're going to fake it. So all of that combined, it's definitely going to pop up. It's definitely going to be screenshotted on Twitter when they figure out he's almost 30 and Australian. So I think that's just an easy way to go viral.
That's a very good point. So he is. He is 27 is what Gundy said, which is basically encroaching on Whedon era, which I think Whedon was probably somewhere around there, like 26, 27. Marshall Scott, our beat writer, actually wrote about Tom Hutton and his background. I'm going to read you just a little snippet of what he wrote for the site today. So kind of a crazy, crazy backstory. He's from Australia, born in 1990, which most of the incoming freshmen are born in 2000 or 2001. Gundy says, quote, "I'm very excited about him. Really unique story. He's 28. Think he's getting ready to turn 29. He's married, works at a paper mill 5 or 6 days a week, 10 hours a day. So essentially a hard lunch pail guy, 10 hours a day of hard work. I'm sure he'll be thrilled to be in our organization where we'll do everything for him." So, so Marshall quipped that if that doesn't sound like Gundy's dream player, what does? So I totally agree. I think it's hilarious.
Well, and also he could be most likely to play immediately because they lose Hockett and Siner. And I think the only other punter on the team, I did air quotes there, is McClure, Jake McClure, who does the kickoffs.
Right.
But if he's doing kickoffs, I don't know if they'll want him to punt too. He could do both, but
that's a good point. I mean,
Seibert does all three for OU, but he could, you know, he could be out there kicking.
That's a good point. Yeah, I honestly, that crossed my mind, but I was thinking Hockett had one more year. So, he could potentially be the starter next year. That's fascinating. I like that. Do you feel like you got enough punter banter in on the podcast? I know you really wanted to get that in.
I feel like when people find out all this stuff about him, he's going to blow. At some point, he's going
to
blow up.
Yeah, I tried to get an interview with him, and he declined, which is probably good because I would have had to call him collect, be like, "Hey, yeah, would you like to accept my Australian collect call?" And he's like, "Yo, mate, I can't do that. I'm working at the paper mill."
Yeah, I mean, first off, that was the worst Australian accent I've ever heard, but
I got a cold, bro.
No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, no, I'm good on Hutton, but I think I love him already.
I think I just fell in love. So TBD. I might try and touch base with him again and see if I can do an interview. He sounds like a far more interesting character than what I knew about before today. Moving on to the next one, superlative. Biggest steal in this class. Hey, yes.
This one, we can just talk about it once because this is the one we have the same.
Let's go.
I couldn't figure out it. Like, there's no way you could pick someone else.
No, I agree. Thomas Harper is the guy we both landed on. Was for a while a 2-star recruit. Ended up being bumped up to a 3-star, but was a stud for Carnes High School. Played receiver, played corner. Did he play safety?
He
played everywhere.
They honestly, on defense, in his senior year, it looks like they just let him play like a Troy Polamalu, like safety. He basically just was roving around the field, and it almost looked like he could do whatever he wanted.
That's insane.
But he did play cornerback too.
Yeah. Well, he was clearly their best player, which Kind of reminiscent of his older brother, Devin, who is a linebacker for Oklahoma State. Devin was actually a running back for Karnes High School. I think he probably played a little bit of linebacker in high school too, but it looked like when you watched Devin's high school highlights at Karnes, he looked like the next Ezekiel Elliott or like Adrian Peterson. Like the level of competition isn't quite what you see around this region, like Texas high school football, but the level in which he dominated his competition was stunning. And that's the same with Thomas Harper. He is an absolute freak show. Clearly the best player on the field every time he stepped on the field as a senior. He didn't end up getting that many offers. I don't know if that's because he ended up committing to Oklahoma State and decided that he would just end his recruitment. But I noted in my superlatives piece, there was actually like a grassroots movement for Tennessee fans begging Jeremy Pruitt to offer this kid, saying, you know, he's the next big thing coming out of Tennessee. Don't let him leave the state. Close down the borders. This guy's great. Which is hilarious to me, because Tennessee could probably get whoever they want, right? Like, it's basically 4- and 5-star athletes that go to Tennessee, and they're begging for, at the time, was like a 2-star recruit. So I think he's a steal. A lot of people think he's a steal. He's probably going to play corner or even
that's what
safety.
They recruited him as.
Yeah, yeah. So he'll play on defense somewhere. I just don't know where.
These are his stats from his senior season: 1,279 receiving yards, 18 touchdowns. And then on defense, he had 92 tackles, 2 forced fumbles, 7 passes defended, a pick, and he blocked a field goal.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, and his team was horrible. Like, he was the only good player on the team.
<That's>
No offense if anyone from Karnes high school football team is listening, but man, these, like, from the videos that I was watching, these guys were garbage. His quarterback wasn't very good, so he was basically doing it all on his own. And then I don't know if you mentioned this, and I don't know how accurate these are. This is just on ESPN and 24, or it's actually just on 247, but it's his vertical is listed at 40.1.
What?
Yeah. And his 40-yard dash time is 4.6, which is not blazing speed, but fast. And once he gets stronger with Rob Glass, he'll get faster. So, I mean,
like
that's insane. 4.27, 20-yard shuttle.
I
don't know
fast.
Where they're going to put him, but they're going to have to put him – they're going to put him somewhere.
Yeah, I would imagine it's at corner, but –
he's very little
yeah,
as well.
He is. That's something we should note. I think he's like 5'10".
Yeah, I saw 5'11", and I think he's only like 175.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's bigger than Jalen McCleskey when he arrived at Oklahoma State.
Yeah, I could definitely – I know they want him to play defense, but I could definitely see him playing slot on offense.
That'd be kind of nice. I'm fascinated.
Yeah, no, he's one of my favorite players in the class, and he's like one of the lowest rated.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. By the way, Jalen was 5'10", 165.
Gosh.
When he arrived on campus.
That's so small.
And now he's 5'10", 175. I'm just kidding, I made that up. But he's probably not that much bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moving along, we have two more left. So stick with us because we got some other non-superlatives talk after this. But best long-term prospect, I went with Cody Waltersheen. I don't know if he's like maybe the best. I don't know how to frame this, but I think Cody Waltersheen is going to be good in 3 years. Like, I think he could be a starter in 3 years. I don't think he'll be a starter next year. I don't think he'll play for the next two. But he's 6'6", 230. His older brother is Cole, obviously the incumbent starter at Oklahoma State off the defensive end. Cody is, I would say, probably a slightly better athlete than Cole. And Cody was a two-sport athlete, did a lot for his high school, and I think he is going to be really good in, like, 2021, which seems, like, really far away. I don't even know what I'll be doing in 2021, but I like his long-term prospects. Who you got here?
I got Trace Ford. I actually think – I think he's one of the most talented players in the class, if not the most. But with them wanting him to play defensive end, I just think he needs to put on too much weight. He's only about 230, and I think he needs to put on 20, 30 pounds, get up to the 240, 250 pound range to be able to play. I don't know if he's going to be able to do that before next season and get in, you know, good enough shape. And like we talked about, it's hard to just come in right away from high school and play defensive line. But the dude's got a great first step. He's got good speed, ran a 4.6940 at 6'3", 227.
Yeah.
Just a freak athlete. He played offense as well. And he's one of my favorite guys. I know you like him a lot too. I did a breakdown on him and watched quite a bit of his video, and I really liked what I saw. And I think he has the potential to be a Jordan Brailford type player for this defense in a couple years.
Yes, agreed. And that leads us to the next category. Player I like most, Trace Ford. I wrote, call me a sucker for a do-it-all athletes, but Trace Ford did a lot for Edmund Santa Fe. Kind of reminds me of, obviously not the same type of player, didn't even play the same position, not even the same type of athlete, but Dylan Stoner at Jinx was like, you know, he ran the Wildcat. He was a wide receiver. He was a punter. He was a safety, played cornerback, was their, I think he was their snapper. Was a holder, like, so literally did everything. Trace Ford was a pass catcher, edge rusher, whatever. Did a lot for Edmund Santa Fe, also played basketball. So I think he is really talented. And like you said, he's got really nice long-term prospects. And I'm excited to see what he can do, because I think he's the type of player that he is an in-state kid. But I think he is maybe a tier above some of the level of talent that some of this other class has. And if it weren't for him being down the road, I wouldn't be surprised if he's elsewhere. So I think this is a sneaky good get, and I like his long-term prospects. I think he's gonna be good.
So mine, we already talked about, so I'm going to do a different one, 'cause I had like a backup plan here in case we went too long. But the player I like the most is Costello. I think if anybody follows me on Twitter or has seen me write about him, he's my favorite player. But we talked about him already, so I'm going to go with Langston Anderson, the guy who committed late in the day today, committed and signed. And this guy, if you watch his highlight tapes, it's – we were talking about Thomas Harper, and Langston's playing some pretty good competition, and the dude – looks like an absolute beast out there. Looks like the best player on the field. And this might be a super hot take, but he gives me Dez vibes.
Oh, no.
And it, Ragu, and it might,
no.
No, and it might be because he's rocking 88 out there. Yeah. It might be because I've seen him throw up the X after he scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
But listen to this. Listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
So he's 6'2", about 200 pounds.
Yep.
Dez came out of high school. 6'1", 6'2", is where he was listed, about 200 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Both four stars. Dez ran a 4.52 40. Langston ran a 4.57. I don't see the I could only find Dez's vertical being a 38.5. Langston's a 39.5. So both freak athletes. He's got the contested ball, jump up, catch it skills. He high points it. He's got the after the catch speed. He's got break, tackle, agility, and ability. I think we got a star here, Boone. I think we got a star.
Get out of here. Get out of here. That's slander. I really like him, though.
I like him a lot, too. I think he's a huge get. I don't think he'll see the field next year with how much depth there is at wide receiver.
Yeah.
Especially with the guys that were injured this year that didn't get to play.
Yeah.
You know, if Trayson Wallace makes it back, McCoffman, LC Greenwood, CJ Moore.
Yep.
I just don't think he'll see the field, but I think he has the potential to be a really good player.
So we don't need to go into this too much, but I think people are pretty interested in the CJ Moore saga. What do you make of him, and what his role is going to be next year?
Man, he just seemed like such a stud coming out of high school.
Yeah.
He looks so skinny, but.
He is.
You know, he
still is.
I haven't personally seen him in a while. If you say he still is, he has time to put on weight.
Yeah.
you know, I'd like to see him out there because the dude definitely has skill. He would, you know, you don't always trust recruiting rankings, but with this guy, I think you do because you could see it on the tape. He's a solid player.
Yeah, when I first watched him as a junior at Tulsa Union, because I'm kind of basically just down the road, he was incredible, and I showed the highlight tape to Porter, and he was like, "We got to get this guy." It's like he would be very good for content, but I think he's gonna be a stud. He just needs to put on some weight. You know, he's 6'5". Like, I'm pretty sure he's less than 200 pounds. So, but the offseason is good for that. I'm curious to see if OSU will maybe give him some time in the bowl game, just even a couple snaps. Like, he can still reserve his red shirt and play. I don't know. That'd be kind of cool.
He's got the swagger needed to play wide receiver.
Oh, 100%.
He definitely has a swagger.
Yeah, he's a big talker.
Yeah.
Last one here for superlatives. Most likely to be a future pro. I wrote Grayson Boomer, which again is kind of a cop out. The highest ranked player in this class. But you know, just if you look at his tangibles, like 6'5", 230 pounds, just really a perfect size and fit in OSU system. Pretty much exactly what you would want from an NFL tight end. And like I said earlier, it kind of reminds me a little bit of Kyle Rudolph. And that I think that's kind of who he idolizes too. So that's my pick. Who do you got?
Yeah, I didn't fill one out for this one because I agreed with you and I already had him for one. I think it's Grayson Boomer. He's probably one of the most talented guys in the class. He was the highest rated. Like you said, he's already got the body. Tight end, you know, he just seems like a guy who could play tight end in the NFL because he can block really well, and then he has the athleticism to catch the ball and make plays after the catch.
Yes. Yep. Agreed. So I woke up, I slept like roughly 11 hours last night because of this cold that I'm trying to kick. I woke up this morning and Dax flipped his commitment from Alabama back to Michigan. What in the world?
All you said in the Slack was Dax.
Dax! I was like, what? So get this. He committed to Michigan in September. People are going to hate this because it has nothing to do with OSU, but it kind of does.
It's a broader topic we wanted to discuss.
Dax is, like, literally he might be the best athlete to come out of OSU, or come out of Oklahoma, I don't know, at least this millennium, like at least the past 15 years. Someone's gonna hit me with like some obscure name that I'm not gonna know on Twitter, but he's ridiculously talented, a top 10 recruit in this 2019 class, the number one prospect in Oklahoma, number one prospect at his position as safety, committed to Michigan in September. Last week he flips his commitment from Michigan to Alabama. This morning, Michigan tweets out that Dax has submitted his national letter of intent to Michigan. That's insane.
So crazy.
I know. So apparently, like, Alabama took a safety commitment that apparently Dax thought that they were not going to take, which caused him to, I guess, flip. I don't know. That's the backstory I heard, so.
Yeah, I mean, I know when you and I were talking about this, we just in general, if how you feel about recruits doing that, you know, committing, decommitting, and then committing somewhere else again. So basically three different schools are involved in the process. And, you know, I don't think it's on these kids. Now, Dax made his a huge production. So I'm not a big fan of that. But just in regards to doing that, to flipping several times, I don't think it's on the kids. This is a huge decision for them. It could affect, if they're a good enough player, it could affect their financial future, depending on what school they choose,
definitely,
what program. It could affect their academic future. And if they're not going to play sports, if they're not going to make it to the NFL. But I just think the big thing is here, it's how the system is set up. It's allowing them to do this. They're not in any kind of binding contract when they make this verbal agreement. So how can you blame these kids when it's such an important decision for changing their mind?
You can't. I mean, like, You said the exact word that defines this entire situation. He entered a non-binding verbal commitment. Like, that should tell you all you need to know. Fans will be crazy because fans are crazy. Twitter will be insane because Twitter is literally always insane. But Dax can do whatever he wants to do. Any recruit can do whatever they want to do. Until they sign their national letter of intent, they're not binded to the school in any way. So good on Dax, man. I think he found the right situation that he wanted, and then ended up finding a better situation that he liked. Turns out, potentially, it wasn't the best situation for him, so he decided to go back to the other one. Like, good on him.
Yeah, so especially if he had that reasoning.
Him. Yeah.
That you said is the backstory, especially if he had that reasoning.
Yeah.
How can you really fault him for it? They took a guy they said they weren't going to.
Right.
At his same position. He's like, how can you expect him not to change his commitment after that?
Yeah. No, you can't.
Now, if you are going to make, I'm not saying he did this, but I've seen some people do this. If you're going to make videos for each, you better keep it the second time.
Oh, yes.
Switch it again with a like third video, because that's a little much. Like I said, you could still do it, but you gotta expect you're gonna get some blowback there if you're gonna do something like that. But 100%. Just these guys that are just tweeting it out, I don't know how you can blame them. If you're just tweeting out a picture that says, "Hey, I committed here. Oh wait, I decommitted here, and now I'm signing here," and you know, story comes out, "Hey, they took a guy at my position. They said they weren't gonna take. I didn't really want to have that kind of competition. I wanted playing time early." You know, I just don't know how you can fault him.
Agreed. I don't know. I think Dax can do whatever he wants. That's you know, if I was a top 10 recruit, I do wonder. Obviously, Dax didn't do this for attention, although he did get plenty because he's a top 10 recruit. But how many times would you flip your commitment? Like, if you commit to Michigan, can you imagine how many followers and articles would be written about you from Michigan faithful? Like, Michigan blogs, you'd be the headline of so many forums. And then you flip and go to Alabama, and then you're the next hottest thing on RollTideRoll.com, and you get all these Alabama followers. And then you flip back, and you get all these followers and all that stuff. I feel like there's actually recruits who take that into consideration now.
Yeah, no, it's expected. These guys are young. They're getting a lot of publicity. You know, they know it's not a binding contract. They know they can still switch at the slight, you know, if a coach doesn't respond to their, not saying they would do this, but, you know, something makes them mad or something doesn't go their way, they can switch. Yeah. And I'm not saying that the process is correct, but because it's set up this way, I don't think, and like you said, people are still going to do it. But me personally, I'm not going to, you know, hold it against them for switching.
Agreed. Before we get out of here, one word from our sponsor, and then we will take a wrap. So you may have heard the news that there is a new tax bill, but do you know how it affects you? With the new 2019 coming up soon, Angel Johnston and Blasting Game have you covered. Their firm of 10 CPAs and 22 total employees is one of the largest in Central Oklahoma. They've been hard at work calculating how these changes will affect hardworking cowboys just like yourself. It does not feel like it's almost tax time. So feel free to give Cameron or Evan a call at 405-224-6363 or visit their website, ajb-cpas.com. Again, that's 405-224-6363. Do you have anything else to say to this 2019 class? It's probably not over, right? I think that's probably the one caveat we should add.
Yeah, Gundy mentioned there was three guys they were coming after hard today.
Yeah.
We're pretty sure one was Langston Anderson. We're pretty sure the other one is Sony Fofoya, Fanoa. How do you?
Oh, yeah. Keep going, yeah.
The defensive end, I'm not sure how to say it.
I don't either. I'm glad you botched it. I'll let you do
it. Yeah, sorry for butchering that. We think the third one, not to ramble on too much longer, but we think the third one is one of the two running backs, Darwin Barlow, who's committed to TCU,
yep.
Who some thought was going to sign today, and he didn't. Some Some are speculating that they never thought he was going to sign today and he's going to sign later on next year. And some are saying that he decided not to because they still have a game to play.
Yep.
And then the other that it could be is possibly DeAndre Glass from the four-star running back from Katy, who wants to go to Alabama. They took another running back. They got another running back commitment today from a five-star guy. Had Miami up there high. They got an Auburn transfer who's pretty good running back. And then Texas missed on a guy. So I'm sure they're coming after him hard too. But I think Oklahoma State still has a shot with Glass. Unless I'm missing something, I think Barlow's pretty set on TCU.
I agree. They keep working that angle. I think they're just going to keep having to work that angle because I don't think there's anything there. I do think that DeAndre Glass is definitely a possibility, but I'm much less confident than I was like 3 weeks ago about DeAndre Glass. I feel like he's just kind of waiting for some blue blood to take him under his wing. Because at this point, OSU has been on him for well over a year, maybe 2 years actually, and he's had plenty of opportunities to commit, hasn't done so, and so I guess we'll see how kind of this plays out. But wouldn't surprise me if he ended up going to like a Miami or Texas. Noah Cain committed to Penn State on Wednesday, yeah. Which likely means that Texas is gonna turn its attention to DeAndre Glass. We'll see kind of how that unfolds. But wouldn't surprise me if he ended up staying in the state. One final hilarious tweet I just saw from our boy Mike Boynton. So Boynton, there is a game on Friday at noon in Stillwater, and we'll wrap with this. Boynton tweets, big game before the big holiday. In case anyone has a Grinch for a boss, give this a try, with a emoji, a cowboy emoji and a wink. And it's below, it's like a letter form excuse to get out of work for to attend the game. He said, hope to see a bunch of happy families at GIA on Friday. Young guys are working hard to represent all of you. And then a person who will not be named because it was just kind of a ludicrous throwaway comment. He says, my boss only lets me leave work to watch teams that are over 500. You know, like all caps. Every other Big 12 program. Maybe a little less Twitter stick and a little more time in the film room, coach, which is hilarious. And Boynton says, thanks. Merry Christmas. Hashtag CTE. Or C2E. Committed to excellence. So,
that's kind of like, okay, cool, hook 'em.
Yeah, it is the new, okay, cool, hook 'em. So good.
Thanks. Merry Christmas.
I know. I love it.
All right. He's awesome.
I know. That's great. That'll do it for this week. Thanks for putting up with my nasally voice. I'm going to drown my sorrows in some NyQuil. And we'll be back when DeAndre Glass and Grant Gunnell and Darwin Barlow and Dax Hill all flip
their commitments. Derek Stingley.
Yeah, they're all going to flip to Oklahoma State. And we'll cover that in detail in the podcast next week. Thanks for listening, guys. Thanks, Ragu.
Thanks.
Okay, see ya.